Andala prala kata bosha kata balika da balika da bosuntalia. We receive your word. We receive your word. We receive the ministration of the Holy Spirit by the word this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, House of Judah. Hallelujah. 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 I bring greetings to you this morning from Pastor. He should be on his way anytime from now or even already. And I must say sincerely that for the first time in a very long time, I actually miss him. For the first time in a long time. Because at a point, I actually wanted him to just go. But he will be with us shortly, and he sends his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor David, for that word. Thank you, Pastor Kenny, for the word of last week. It's still resounding in my heart. And you know, it's been a long month, and I think we should just flow along, right? We're still arising to contend, and we're just continuing that faith. And that's why I'm going to be speaking on faith to contend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And like I said earlier, the bridge between arise and shine is faith. Or maybe I should say, the journey between arise and shine is easier and shorter if you go through that route, that bridge that connects the two, called faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Don't rush when you read the Bible. If you read Isaiah 16 and you just read arise, shine, you ask yourself, there is no and, there is no two, there is nothing in between. So I'm telling you, it's a very long journey. Hebrews 11:30. And we're just going to be looking at one of the ways to contend by faith. Now, it's easy to say, have faith, have faith. And some of the times you just ask yourself, okay, I really want to get to this particular point, but how can I really have faith? And how can I exercise this faith? So I just want to pick one example. Hebrews chapter 11 has a lot on faith stories. And I'm just going to pick one. Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You know, till today, there are still arguments about what really brought down that wall. People in the world are still wondering, what really brought down the wall of Jericho? I don't know why they are looking for answers outside. The answer is already here. By faith. It was faith that brought it down. Hallelujah. But it sounds abstract, right? How can? How did it happen? What is faith? Isn't that what Hebrews 11 verse 1 described? That you can't, to be sincere with you, or let's be sincere with one another. When you read, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Does it make any sense? The evidence of something you cannot see. The main thing you cannot see. So how are you sure the evidence is even there? It's the substance, making it sound tangible, of something that you hope for. Hope for. Hope for tells me it's in the future. Substance tells me it's something I can see now. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 6. So let's see how faith brought down the walls of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Joshua 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. So there was no coincidence in this. If you read chapter 5, you will see where the Alot, Rahab, right? Had helped some men to escape. And Bible records that after the soldiers who went to look for the men left, they shut the gates. So from that day, it was deliberate. They knew people had come to spy, and so the gates of the city were shut. None could go out, and none could come in. So the reality was clear. The gates were shut. Everything was tight. Joshua was supposed to lead the children of Israel into the land. Let's go to chapter 5. chapter 5. Sorry, let's go to chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I read from verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, take his place. Go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I'm giving to them, the Israelites. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that I have given you, as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, Canaan, and to the great Mediterranean sea on the west shall be your territory. No man shall be able. So has it ever occurred to you, or has this ever happened to you, that you have such words that have gone ahead of you, and then you get to that junction and everything is shut? And then you ask yourself, but I got some words. Prophecies came. Faith. Prophecies came. That you have the solution to cancer. If you forget, I won't forget. And then you get into somewhere where you are supposed to just, they've told, this one is not even cancer. They said, this mixture heals sores. This is how to do it. Do it. And then you did it and the thing came out as water. And then you tell yourself, okay, is this how we're going to cure cancer? Prophecies have gone ahead of you. But you get to that point and reality becomes clearer than the word that has gone ahead. Chapter 5, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Verses 13 to 15. So when Joshua was by Jericho, after he had seen the reality, you know, chapter 6 starts from the reality of what he saw in chapter 5. Everywhere was shut. Everywhere, everything was tight. You know, I had an appraisal discussion last year, December. Early this January. And from that discussion, I just told myself, be content with what you have and where you are. You know, you come into some meetings and it becomes clear that nothing can happen in the next 365 days. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The reality speaks so loud that even if you are deaf, you will hear it. But I read verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us of our adversaries? Verse 14. And he said, no, but as captain of the host of the Lord, as I am now come, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now I'd like you to know that even though there is a long journey between arise and shine, the moment the word goes, God doesn't stand by arise anymore because he has released the word. God goes ahead to wait for you at shine. Glory. So when Joshua looked at Jericho, you know, it took Joshua standing out of the crowd. Chapter 6 and verse 1. That same chapter 5. We read from verse 13. And Joshua was by Jericho. He had gone with a crowd. But at a point, he had to come out of the toxic environment where everything that was just obvious was reality. And he came to a place to stand alone. And it was from that point he saw that the Lord had gone ahead of him. In taking your journey of faith, you must be ready, and at times you must be deliberate about standing aside from the reality. Because that is the only way your vision can be clear. Reality blurs your vision. But when you stand apart from it, you are able to see God who has gone ahead of you in that journey. And so he stepped aside, and it was then he saw the angel of the Lord who said, I have been here all the while waiting for you. The Lord says, I will give you multiples. And then you still stay there. Pastor David was telling us, arise is from sleep, from death. And then you are still there trying to calculate. Meanwhile, God has released the word and he has gone ahead of you to stay there. So right now, you are still trying to arise. But God is already waiting at your manifestation. Waiting for you and saying, where are you? Let's take up the city. Now, may I let you know, if you watch some Igbo movies, you will see that when their kings come around, No, is it even Igbos? There's a tribe that when royalty passes, they throw red flowers, they throw petals, they throw salt on the floor, so that you will know that a king has passed already that day. It's a good omen for you if you come and you see meet the petals. So when God takes his journey from Arise and goes to wait for you at Shine, he drops his tokens on the path. These are the tokens that you hold on to when you get to certain areas and you are discouraged and you cannot even tell if you are still in the right path or not. You will see the token he has left for you to follow. Those tokens are reassurances. Those tokens are words. Because sometimes you wonder, this prophecy came in 2018. It came in 2019. It came January 2020. It has come again January 2021. Why is this prophecy following me and there is no fulfillment? Because you are still on the path. And every time the word comes again, it is the token of the Lord that is telling you, stay on that path. You are still on the path. Stay on the path. You are still on the path. He says, I will make you greater. And then again, another person comes and says, the Lord says, and you say, you know what? I am just tired. Because as far as you are concerned, you are still at that same point. But the Lord is saying, you have moved. And this is another token that you require to keep you strong as you move. I remember in my relationship before we got married, there were periods where I honestly just felt like pulling us. You know something? Okay. I love you, Emil. Yes. But really, there were just periods where I just needed those reassurances. And like Pastor David was saying, you mentioned something this morning, that sometimes examples could actually be God speaking. And honestly, I actually have a real life situation that I can share. So I was in my final year. I wasn't going to settle down in Akure, and I was with somebody that was bent on living in Akure. So for goodness sake, God, if you are sure you are in this relationship, then you have to do something. But it's okay. I was already preparing for graduation and all of that. And then we had a sisters meeting in school, and we had invited a very renowned woman from Akure to come and minister in Akumbaden. I was one who invited her. So any information she had about anybody would have come from me. And I never gave her any information about my relationship. And here is this woman ministering. And she said, you know, when the Lord tells you something, just do it. And don't be bothered about how God will do it. For instance, and she looked into the crowd. You know, you're just looking and you want to cite an example. I was the only one she knew personally. So it was only my name she could call. And so she said, for instance, if God tells Sister Wumi, marry Shafe, and she refuses. So everybody screamed. Because they thought she knew. Now, she didn't say Gbenga. She didn't mention his first name. She mentioned a name that, before I met him, I never knew people bore such names. And then she said, assuming God tells Wumi, Shafe is your husband, marry Shafe, and she refuses, you know. And when she heard people shout, she said, oh, I'm sorry, she's the only one I know, and that was why I mentioned her name. People thought because we were close, she knew. So after the service, I went to meet her and I said, excuse me, ma, do you know why people screamed? Especially my friends who knew she didn't know. She said, oh, no. I said, they screamed because you did not only mention the guy's name, you mentioned his son's name. Then she said, we never spoke about your relationship. I said, we have never done that. She was only citing an example. That was a point in my life where I needed a token. God is faithful. When he says he sends his word and he stands by it, it is because he leaves you with the token for that season. The token you have today may be different from what you get tomorrow. You must be sensitive. Don't see yourself as you are still on that same spot. You have moved. You have moved. That the same word keeps coming doesn't mean that you have. Because sometimes you tell yourself, this word has been coming for 5 years. It is still coming. That means I'm still at that point I was 5 years ago. No, you have moved. What you have only received again is a token. Stand away from the reality so that you can see how God has moved ahead of you. He is not man that he should fail. He cannot fail. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 2. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. I can read from here. Okay. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho. Number 2. You must see the victory. Now, there will be a temptation to focus on the wall. Because right before Joshua was that wall. There will be a temptation to focus on the wall. And I'll still give you a summary description of that wall. Because that wall is one that cannot be ignored. It's not a regular wall that you can ignore. You need to change what you focus on. The Lord told Joshua, see, I have given you. See, focus on your victory, not on the wall. It is not your business how the wall comes down. Focus on your victory. I'm just trying to see how, we're looking at how you can work in faith. You've gone for an interview, and you know some interviewers are very mean. I tell some of my colleagues, I say, please, when you interview people, just be nice. Some interviewers are very mean. They just look at you straight. So, tell us about yourself. No, 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 no. That's not the answer to the question I want. No, no, no. You didn't answer it well. No, no, no. And yeah, before you know, you lose your confidence. So, after that interview, if somebody asks you, how did it go? You really just don't want to talk about it. Focus on your victory. Focus on your victory. Tell your neighbor, change your view. Change your perspective of the matter. You have seen it too much from the way it is really, reality. Can you just change your view and focus on that victory? Focus on the word that you're working with. It can be difficult, I know, but you can do it. Paul and Silas were in chains. If they had focused on the chain, I hope you know that when they were in prison, even Paul and Silas knew that no man under heaven or earth had the audacity to remove that chain. You are looking at the reality of the problem too much. You are looking at alternatives. You are looking at several things at the same time. Even the man you are looking up to does not have the power except he is sent of God. So, what are we saying? I was told this year you will not be promoted. You have not done enough. And my husband said, you will be promoted because you have done more than enough. Hallelujah. At first, I was going to say, you know what? I understand that we have faith, but this is... But I noticed the way he was going and I felt, okay, you are the owner of the matter. The person that is even more, so I had to align and say, amen, I receive it. He said, no, it's not a matter of you receive it. It is a matter of what will happen. I'm telling you, everybody. I was almost saying, it's okay. But in the midst of all of that discussion, I think his faith actually helped my faith. And I began to profess it, that I take territories this year. I take territories, and I'm going forward. And I moved forward. The reality around me was deafening. Focus on your victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. I have given it to your hand. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Verse 3. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war. Before I go into ye men of war, let me quickly give you a brief description of the wall of Jericho. The wall of Jericho. In fact, Google has it as walls of Jericho. massive stone walls surrounding an ancient Neolithic settlement in Jericho, built about 8,000 BCE. This wall is at least 13 feet, 4 meters in height, and backed by a watchtower or redoubt some 28 feet tall, were intended to protect the settlement and its water supply from human intruders. Though weapons of the Huns had been in use for centuries, the walls of Jericho represent the earliest technology uncovered by archaeologists that can be ascribed unequivocally to purely military purposes. Now, another finding says walls like the wall of Jericho is not a wall that springs out of the ground coincidentally. It is deliberately built as a weapon of war. Because when it was built, the weapon of war at that time were stones. So you now understand why David went to pick stone. Because at that time, their weapon were stones. So imagine a wall stacked up with stones. Now, the wall of Jericho was built as both a defensive machinery and an offensive one. In the sense that it's defensive because it shields the inhabitants of Jericho. And it is offensive because you come against it, you crash. It wasn't a wall that could be easily penetratable. No. Anyone comes against that wall, crashes. So it was a weapon of war. Or it was crafted from weapons of war. Now God told the men, compass the city. All ye men of war. God did not call them men of war because they will need to carry guns or need to carry arrows to fight that battle. God called them men of war because he needed to reiterate that they had what was necessary within them to face the wall of war. So God called them men of war to remind them of their identity, to say you have what it takes to face this wall and bring it down. Hallelujah. 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 You are so many things, but you must be sensitive to the identity and the posture you need to portray at each point of your journey. I remember some years ago, I needed to, you know, there was a vacancy within my department, and my head of department called me from my own unit to say I should come lead that team. And I cried. Now, what had happened? There's something we call competency framework in HR. What competency framework says is, Pastor David, we need a resident pastor, right? Competency framework tells you the attributes, the behavioral competencies, the skills required for that role. And so what she had done was to look into our profiles, and then she picked my profile and looked at my behavioral attributes. She looked at my skills, and she saw that it matched the role, and she said, place her there. But here was I. The only way I could see myself was by looking at the problems surrounding, I didn't even competency, skill. The only thing I was looking at were the problems surrounding the desk, the issues they had around the desk, the issues with losses of all sorts around the desk, the issues the person who was there had before, and all the terrible things and history I'd heard about that particular unit. So when I told her, Ma, I'm not sure I can, she said, no, but you can. Looking at your profile, I can see that. And that's why sometimes some people call you for some interviews and you wonder how. Because they've looked at your profile. Your identity, as far as we are concerned, says you fit this role. Can you possibly begin to see yourself the way God sees you concerning this matter? And so God called them men of war. Not because they were going to fight battles, but because he wanted them to know that even though you are faced by a wall of war, you have the competencies, you have what it takes with you to be able to conquer. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 to 26, the Lord made heaven and earth, and the Lord made everything that was beautiful. We don't have so much time, I would have quickly loved to read through. And then Give me verse 26, Genesis chapter 1. After the creation of everything, everything was beautiful. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so what happened here? God had made the buffaloes, God had made the elephants, God had made the snake, God had made all sorts. And then on the sixth day, God made man, Janjala man. And I can imagine that a time will come when man will say, all of you, sit down. And the elephant will say, oh boy, when did you get to this garden? God made me before he made you. God was mindful of me. He thought of me before he thought of you. You know even the look size. I can imagine that even tortoise would have told him, Mr. Man, keep quiet. You should respect your elders. But when God made man, God did not only tell man to multiply and be fruitful, the same way he told the animals and the plants. God also told him his identity in the garden. And God told him, you will dominate this place. You will subdue it. You will take charge. Because God understands that a time may come when you get overwhelmed. And the only thing that you will need as an anchor when you are overwhelmed is an understanding and the knowledge of your identity as God sees you. So when man walks in the garden and gets overwhelmed, which was what happened when the serpent came, but man had forgotten his identity. So there's been prophecies that have gone ahead of you. Oh, you've tried so much to focus on the victory, but a period may come when you get overwhelmed. Can you possibly look at yourself and see yourself the same way God sees you? See yourself the same way God sees you. You must understand your identity. You must be conscious of it and refuse to be overwhelmed. Pastor Kenny was talking last week and he was telling us about how you go into the market. These days, I go to the market and I just watch people fighting. You just see customer and seller, buyer and seller fighting. On what price? You agree, no agree. And the level of aggression is so high. You hear people say, I will slap you now because he said he can't sell. The man said he can't sell at 15 naira. You said he must sell at 13 naira. He said no. You said you will slap him. People, things are just going. But in the midst of it, we have victory. In the midst of it, we are not stranded. In the midst of it, we are overcomers. Can you possibly reflect on your identity and begin to call yourself and begin to tell yourself? I was saying the confession with my kids last night, and it began to dawn on me that this confession is so powerful. When you say, I lend to nations, sometimes you just think, oh, it is when I have money that I'll begin to lend to nations. But I remember I saw Busayo's post on Facebook where she was having a chit chat with some Oyibo people, and I'm saying, she's lending to nations. They are picking from her knowledge. I lend to nations. It is not until I have dollars and they come to me and say, Iraq needs money, give us money. No. From where you are beginning to make impact. You are giving out knowledge. You are sharing knowledge. You are making impact. You are giving out to nations already. I take territories. Can you possibly just speak to yourself and tell yourself the things that God has said to you? God understands our identity. Pastor Namari says, even the devil understands it. We are the only ones left out. You have defined yourself too much by how you see yourself. It is time to define yourself by how God sees you. Hallelujah. Every appointment comes with commensurate authorization. Every task you are assigned comes with the necessary authorization you need to manifest. Except you are not working by the word. Except you are working on your own. If you are sent, then you will be backed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to rush up because we're still going to go into a serious session of praise. Verse 3 again, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 3. I know who God says I am. I know what he says I am. I know where I am in my journey. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be overwhelmed. In the ligeda bosuketa, lembra la kataya. I have what it takes. I have what it takes. I refuse to underestimate myself. I see myself the way God sees me. In the ligeda bosuketa baligataya. When he says I take territories, he means it. And he has given me everything I require to take territories. He says I will lend to nations. He has equipped me. He has gone ahead of me in this journey. And I have his tokens as I walk along. I have his tokens as my anchor. I will not slide. Imbroli katabo shakata brali ketebo sukatam brala kataya. Verse 3. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war. Go round about the city once. Thus shall thou do 6 days. And as I saw this, the Lord opened my eyes. See, everything you see around you was made in 6 days. Everything you require is already available. Go around it 6 days. Because in 6 days, I already made provision for all that you need. So God was telling the Israelites, go around 6 days, because he wanted to remind them that everything that they required for that victory to happen was already made available. Joshua chapter 1 again. Verse 3. He says, every place upon which the sole of your feet shall tread, that I have given to you. It is the future for you. It is not the future for God. It is past for him. You are the one who is looking at it as a promise that God will fulfill. But he says, everywhere you will touch, I already gave to you. Sometimes you have a word and you are helping God think, but God, how will you do it? No, but really, how will you do it? How will you do it? As we were worshiping this morning, I thought I was seeing bling bling on peace fingers. And I was wondering. So I looked again. I said, she's not wearing a ring. But if I tell her, she's as a meal. That's what she would say. As a meal, let's talk about something else. Because you are thinking, how will he do it? You need to come to the understanding that what you need has already been prepared for. It has been given to you already. It is in the past. You have sleepless nights because you think that when God gives you a word, then he starts to now begin to think of how he will do it. Before he gives you the word, he would have completed it. So he told them, go round 6 days, bringing them back into remembrance that everything you need, I don't know what it is you're looking for. Likantobo shakata balikataya. Everything you require, everything you are asking for, everything you need has already been provided for. There is not, tell me one thing you need that was not taken care of in the 6 days of creation. Tell me. Light? What? What do you need that God has not created already? It is in the future for you, but it is in the past for God. Hallelujah. It is done. It is settled. It is sealed. You just need to come in that confidence, in faith. And you need to see it in that light. There is nothing you are looking for that God has not prepared already for you. You just need to reach out. Verse If you walk away from your father, then you will not be able to reach that which is in his hands. Because everything you are looking for is right there with him. Can you possibly take your communion life more seriously? In him we live, in him we have our being. Ah. Verse 4. Chapter 6 and verse 4. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpet. Before you blow, you must be sure that the ark is well placed. Your victory cannot come outside the presence of God. Stay there and be waiting for Pastor Kenny to encourage you to study and pray and worship and read and this and that. Whatever it is that he says can only be made manifest in his presence. Ah, and that is why every morning as you arise, you should arise, ensure that you wake up and you arise in his presence, in the Mount Zion, in the multitude. So he said, let the ark go ahead of you. And the priest will blow with the trumpet, verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. Now, God was very detailed. There is no, he labeled it. When they make a long blast, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout, and the wall will come down. The wall will not come down before the shout goes out. Your shout is your response to the sound of the Spirit. When the sound is made and you respond accordingly, because if the sound is made and you are telling yourself that you are too tired to respond because you've been walking around for 6 days looking for what you want in God, and you are saying, God, can you just move and let's fast track this thing? I am tired to respond. The sound has been made. Let the wall come down. The wall will continue to stare you in the face. When the sound of the trumpet goes forth and you hear it, if you are not alert, the sound of the trumpet will go forth and you will not hear it. They say the way children speak is first by hearing. If you are not sensitive, if you do not stand in with the right posture, so here, when the sound goes forth, you will not know when to shout. We came into this month and Pastor declared that this is our month of praise. That is a sound that we need for this season. The sound has gone forth. Have you responded to the sound? We are going to blow the trumpet this morning. And we will release the sound of heaven. And we will respond to the sound of heaven with shouts of glory, with rejoicing in our hearts. Likata ba shakata lekata ba zukete embrelekete. Our response is in faith. You have not seen it, but we are responding. I was driving out of the house this morning, and my son said, Mommy, you need a new car. And I said, let's begin to thank God for the new car that will come. And my daughter said, why are we thanking God when we have not seen the car? And I said, we thank God because we know that God will do it. We give him our thanksgiving and our praises ahead of what we have hope that he will do. The weight of your response to the shout shows the level of your trust and faith. Maybe if we use trust, it helps us understand faith better. Let's rise to our feet. Li kataba shakata. Kataba shakata. Li kataba shakata. Li kataba shakata. Li kataba sunta.